As our meeting is every year Chodesh Elul, we spend a couple of weeks now to learn Sefer Koheles. Happens to be over the last couple of years we never got past really Perek Dalet. So I think that this year Bezer Hashem will start from Perek Hey. That way we'll move on. Who knows, maybe we could get to the end. But we'll start from Perek Hey. I'll just give you again Hagdoma, small Hagdoma to Sefer Koheles. Obviously, the first thing to be mimic, to think about, is why Koheles is read Tafka during Sukkos, during the Chag HaSukkos. So we have to know what's unique to Sefer Koheles. First of all, the name already is unique. The fact that it's called Koheles, it doesn't even have Shlomo HaMelech's name. The other Sfarim that Shlomo HaMelech wrote, he put his name in it. Mishlei Shlomo, Shir HaShirim HaShir L'Shlomo. Over here, Divrei Koheles. Who is Koheles? He doesn't even give us his name. Obviously, it's not hard to figure out. We know who he is. But for some reason he's going with the name Koheles, which obviously is telling, but what he's trying to convey to us in Sefer Koheles. That's the reason why it's being conveyed in that way without him putting his name in. So we'll see what that is. What's the point of that? We know there's a parasha in the Torah like that also with Moshe Rabbeinu. His name is not mentioned in the parasha. Parasha is Tetzaveh. Over there also Chazal Oymed on the fact that Moshe's name is not mentioned. Obviously, Moshe is dominant in the parasha. The word Atta is Moshe. But his name, Moshe Rabbeinu, is not put down. And the explanation that Chazal give us why Moshe's name is not mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh is because since Moshe Rabbeinu said after the Chet of the Egel that either forgive me, either forgive Klal Yisrael, or if not, take me out of the Sefer. Erase me from your Sefer. So because of that, his name was Taka taken out. So whenever we get to Parsha Tetzaveh, I'm sure Eilim remembers, I always ask, how you talking, Moshe should get punished? Moshe Rabbeinu should get punished? For willing to give up his name for Klal Yisrael? He should get an extra couple of names. He shouldn't get diminished. It's the opposite. We see from the Levana that when the Levana came and said, I want to be bigger than the Chama, the Levana got shrunk. It's not the way things work. Anybody who lowers himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Magbiyoi, Hashem lifts you up. So it doesn't make sense that Moshe should say, and he should be diminished. So obviously there's a different explanation to why Moshe Rabbeinu's name was taken out from Parshas Tetzaveh. Now, Koheles is also a very controversial Sefer. I'm not Chas V'Shom saying it's controversial. Chazal say that Koheles is so controversial that Bikshu Chachomim Lignoi Sefer Koheles. They wanted to bury it, Sefer Koheles. Now, you have to understand, bury it doesn't mean that Chazal didn't have a Cheshivas for Sefer Koheles. Of course, they valued it tremendously. It's a treasure. But they felt that there's certain passages in Koheles that are confusing. And we won't understand what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. Because when you read Koheles, it could be taken very depressing. Very depressing Sefer. Hevel Avolim, Akol Hovel, everything is, nothing's good, everything's terrible. What do you gain from anything? It's all nothing. Everything's makes away with the whole beautiful world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. The world's beautiful. The Rambam says that the way to love Hashem is to look into the Bria. Look into the beautiful world around you. And that's how you get to love Hashem. And Shlomo HaMelech and Sefer Koheles on the surface seems to diminish the world. It's nothing. It's garnished. It's all hevel. So Chazal say that, in fact, they wanted to bury Sefer Koheles for that reason, that it shouldn't be, it should be off the bookshelves. But they decided, no, Because Shlomo HaMelech over there said, "My Yisrael la'odom sheyamol tachas haShemesh." Right at the beginning of Kehilos, he says, "What does a person gain by toiling under the sun?" Is mashma from there that you don't gain anything by toiling with something that's under the sun, but something that's above the sun and better than the sun that you should be busy with. And what is that? That's Torah. Because Torah is Kodim Shenivra Olam. Torah was even before the world was created. So because Shlomo HaMelech in his Sefer alluded to the fact that a person should toil in Torah, it's okay, we could keep the book. So what's the obvious question? Isn't that obvious that Shlomo HaMelech advocated Torah? Well, we wouldn't have known it. If Shlomo HaMelech wasn't Meramez that a person should learn Torah, we wouldn't know that that's probably what Shlomo HaMelech stood for. Shlomo HaMelech's single request from Hashem was, I should have Chochmah. There's nobody who valued wisdom more than Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech was Spitz Chochmah. They say the Rabshitze, he was a very sharp Rebbe, Chassidish Rebbe. He said, his biggest fear, he was very into Chochmah, the Rabshitze, Chochmah. He said his biggest fear of Gehenim was that he should be stuck with the Tipshim over there. He said, I'm more afraid of the Tipshim than the fire of Gehenim. I don't want the Tipshim. I don't want to be stuck with Tipshim. Shlomo HaMelech, he talks about Tipshis, Sichlus, it's terrible, the worst thing. There's nobody in history that told us more about the value of wisdom than Shlomo HaMelech. So I need him to be Miramis to hint to me that he holds that learning is a good thing. And now all of a sudden his whole book is okay. Now Kehelos is okay. Now we don't have a problem. What's up, Pshat? So I'll tell you what Chazal tell us, where the word Kehelos came from. Why is the Sefer called Kehelos? So Chazal say as follows. Chazal say the Kehelos comes. Says the Yalkut Shemoni. Shekol Dvarav Omrim B'Hakel. Omar Avhune B'Shem Ravacha Mishmer Nichnas Mishmer Yetzel L'Shmoya Chochmosai. Al Shem V'Yakel Shloim Nikra Kehelos Ben David. Comes Chazal and they tell us that the reason why Sefer Kehelos is being called Sefer Kehelos is because it's Torah that Shlomo HaMelech gave over B'Hakel to the Tzibur. And he was constantly giving over, literally, group after group came in. Zenichnas v'zeyetze. There was no stopping. Shlomo HaMelech went on and on giving over this Chochmah. That's why the Sefer is called Kehelos. So what is Kehelos? Kehelos is a Sefer Shel Tzibur. It's a Sefer of the Tzibur. And that's why it's called Kehelos. Like, you know, we call it after Shemitah, the year of Hakel, where Gans Kleisel got together by the Beis HaMikdash. So the name of the Sefer emphasizes the fact that Shlomo HaMelech gave over this Torah B'Hakel. That's what's unique. And obviously, that's the main point that he's trying to drive home. Something to do with the Tzibur and that's what Shlomo HaMelech's trying to convey. Now, if you look at Chazal HaMamshech, it's scary things what Chazal tell us here. Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu's wisdom got sharpened when he taught the Torah to Klal Yisrael. I'll read you the Medrash Rabba. But you know, people, when they're in yeshiva, one of the biggest mistakes people make is it's very much, who's your chavrus? Are you happy with your chavrus? How good of a chavrus do you have? I know guys, their whole zman was shot because they felt they didn't have the right chavrus. According to their level, their high esteem level, on the Mayetzes Kedilei HaTorah, Chavrusa wasn't worthy for their tremendous madrega. Okay? Who was Moshe Rabbeinu's Chavrusa? I think we could all agree he had a pretty good Chavrusa. The Rabbeinu Shalom. I don't think any of us could pride ourselves in having that. The Eibush definitely gives us Siyata Dishmaya. But Moshe Rabbeinu learned B'Chavrusa Pe'opeh with the Rabbeinu Shalom. And then, after he finished with the Rabbeinu Shlomo, he came down, he had the Nebuch deal with us. Okay? That's a whole different word. I remember when I used to be Zeichet to learn with Rabbi Yankov Zatzal. Right? And then after I finished with him, I had to go learn my Chavrus in Yeshiva. And I was like, oh, can't believe this. It was such a yirida that I almost felt like I was makabel tumah. It was almost v'yomish choyshech, like makas choyshech. Because Reb Yankov was a mokar chochma. Everything he said had chochma to it. So, imagine Moshe Rabbeinu going from Shemayim, learning b'chavrusa with Borei Olam. He comes down and to deal with us. So let's see what Chazal say. Mamish the Medrash Rabba, on that pasuk when Moshe comes down to Klal Yisrael. Tein l'chocham v'yach kamoit. Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei, give to a chocham and then he'll become even smarter. Chazal say, what is that referring to? Zeh Moshe. She'nitna loy chochma mipi agvura. You'd think that's it. He plateaued. How could Moshe get smarter? Hashem himself taught him. Somebody says, who's your Rebbe this year? The Rebbeinu Shlomo. Send him to the psychiatrist, right? But Moshe was able to say it. It was true. He went to Moshe and said, who's your Rebbe lately? The Rebbeinu Shlomo. Not only that, my Rebbe was Kavemi B'chavuseh. 40 days he learned with Mimamish Yemen Velayla, 24/7. Pretty chosh. Zokta Medrash, V'yech kamoid, achar shalimdo li Yisrael nishake moid. Now let's look at the Tanchuma. Just telling you this point, it's clear. Let's go to a Tanchuma. Tanchuma says like this. Very similar words. Tanchum is a couple of parashas later, parashas v'yakel. Says Tanchum, Tein l'chochkom ze Moshe. Kishenosan l'akodish baruch hu chochmo. Ho yoheleich hu melamdo li Yisrael. Va'al yidei kach ho yomashbiach es dvorov. You hear? By giving over to Klal Yisrael, he went up. He went up higher. Now I'm going to tell you also, I have to share with you, a chovis alvovis, because this chovis alvovis is nerve oyim. I'm going to read you a chovis alvovis, a couple of lines. You're going to go out of your kill. It's not to be believed. The schus that a person gets from giving over Torah to the tzibur. It's lo yumin ki yisupur. These are the words of the chovis alvovis. Shara avas Hashem, perek vav. Afim odom magia ledarga el yoyna biyosa. Even if a person reaches the highest level that you can imagine, and he's very specific and explicit, doimel neviim v'igia kimat l'midei seim. Could you imagine Chovis Alvovis is talking? Ramchal, he's too. He's way, way after the neviim. Nobody could have even imagined the neviim. He says even if somebody in our generation would reach a level like the neviim, okay. And doime l'midei seyem. He's such a tzaddik, yeah. He's like the midah. Imagine you tell somebody calls you a shidduch, hello, what do you say about the bochi? And say, this bochi has midas like Shmuel Hanavi. That's nuts. Right? That's a nutty thing to say. I once saw a keva. And that, I'm sure the keva was on a yid that was a tzaddik and he loved Jews. On the keva it said, Bal chesed kavrom avinu. On the matzeva. I was like, Rabbeinu Dalma. Rabbeinu Dalma Kula. How could you say it's somebody's like Avraham Avinu? Chovis Alvovis says a person reaches a level, Kedargas Anavua, who Kemide Seyem. Says follows, Bechol Zeh, Ein Zechiyosav Magiyas, Lizchuyoy Shalmi, Shemechavim Bnei Odom Al Derech HaToivo, L'Avodas Hashem. You hear something? You go in a Beis Medrash, the guy's a Navi, he's flying in the skies, he has wings, he's gewaltig. His level is nowhere near somebody who walks in a Beis Medrash and gets another guy into learning. He's much higher. It's unbelievable. Nervoy. Why is that? Where does that come from? So the Alter from Kelm said that this is all based on Emunah. It's all based on Emunah. He says, because somebody who gives over the tachlis of Torah is to give it over to others. That's why, as I told you many times, it's not called mitzvah limud Torah, mitzvah talmud Torah. The tachlis of Torah is to give it over. And therefore, says the Alter of Kelm, Somebody who gives over Torah to others and sacrifices their own time means they have a recognition that the wisdom is not their own. It comes from Hashem. And only a person who's ready to acknowledge that the wisdom is not their own is going to be busy. So here you have the wisest of all men, Shlomo HaMelech. And what does he do? Makil kehilois barabim. What's he wasting his time for? What in the world is he wasting his time? Did it ever occur to you when you see Gedolei Yisrael busy with people? What are you wasting your time for? They're not wasting their time. They're maminim. The Altar of Kelm says that when you dedicate yourself to other people, it means you show that you believe that it's not your own wisdom. The second you believe it's not your own wisdom and you demonstrate that, not just you believe it, you demonstrate it, Hashem gives you more wisdom. Yoiv chochmo l'chakimen. Then Hashem gives you more wisdom. There was a limit of how much Torah Hashem gave Moshe. The moment that Moshe showed that he believes that it's not his wisdom, Hashem knew it. Hashem knew what Moshe thought. But Moshe had to show it. The second Moshe showed that it's not his wisdom, then there is a new level of chachma. Higher level of chachma. That's not shayach. And that's emunah. That's what the demonstration of emunah is. Reb Chaim Kreisworth, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, great man, the Rav of Antwerp, it's a very special individual. Passed away a couple of years ago. He was a Talmud Muvik of the Lubliner, the famous Reb Meir Shapiro, the Lubliner Yeshiva. And he was a Gavur Rabbi even when he was a Bacher. He was a Gavur Rabbi. You have to realize what a Gavur Rabbi means. In those days, it was no joke. But Moshe Feinstein went through Shulchan Aruch, Shas and Shulchan Aruch fluently at age 16. By 18, he was writing tshuvas. His father made him write his first tshuva in halacha when he was 18 years old, Reb Moshe. So this is a different vintage. So Rav Kreisworth already, when he was a bacher, they saw he was something special. So the yeshiva, whoever was mamuna there in the yeshiva, made sure that he had a comfortable situation. He had his own bed. Most of the boys had to sleep somewhere. He had a bed. They got him a mattress. Whoever the people involved in the yeshiva were, they got him a mattress set up in the Ezra's Nashim. So he didn't have to leave yeshiva. He had a place to sleep in the yeshiva. And they also set up for him two meals a day. They say 2 meals a day is nothing, right? In America, we have 6 meals a day, right? But he had 2 meals a day. And the 2 meals a day were in yeshiva, delivered special for him, for Kreisworth. He didn't have to get like the other boys used to get from people and this. He was mechubed. He got... Obviously, they recognized both his hasmada and his exceptional abilities and the whole shlemus of the person. What people don't know so much, I mean, some people know the story, but it's not as famous as maybe it should be, is that Rav Kreisworth had a nes gomer during World War II. Nothing short of an open miracle, mamish nigla shebenigla. Okay. The nace was that they grabbed a couple of boys from the yeshiva. For some reason, they were accused of spying. I think it was then for the Russians. They were accused of spying. And the order was given to shoot this group of boys, this couple of yeshiva bachur. Rahman al-Litzlan, they were all shot. One of the boys was Reb Chaim Kreisworth. He did not get shot, obviously. He lived to say the story. What happened? The Gestapo agent whose job was to shoot, and he was told by his commander to shoot these guys, he said, put 3 bullets into each one of their heads. That was the command. When it came to Reb Chaim Kreisworth, he looked at him and he started shaking, uncontrollably shaking. He says, Jew, run into the woods. I'm just going to shoot 3 times. I'm not shooting you. You look like my son. Something about you. You remind me of my son. It was an ace nobody was able to explain. He didn't get shot. For some reason, the Nazi, Yimach Shemoi, had a vision of his son when he looked at him. I guarantee you that Rav Kreisworth did not look like his son. It was an ace mishemayim. If you see a picture of Chaim Kreisworth as a bacher, you'll see what I mean. that no matter what this guy's son looked like, no way Reb Chaim Krasner. Reb Chaim Krasner looked like a Lublin Hasidish Talmud. That's exactly what he looked like. There was nothing about him German. Reb Chaim Krasner said, he says, if you want to know how the whole thing happened, I davened as the guy was about to shoot me. I davened, and when I turned around, that's when this whole thing happened. And he says, well, this was my tefillah. It was a tefillah katzara. It was a short tefillah. He said, when I was in Lublin, a boy from another place somewhere in Europe needed to see an eye specialist because he was mostly blind. And the eye specialist was giving him treatment that would last for 6 or 7 months. And he had no place to stay. He stopped in Lublin, and the poor boy, Nebuch, was blind, pretty much blind, and a lost soul. He didn't know what to do. He has to be there for medical treatment. He can't go around. He can't see. Reb Chaim Krasner met this boy in Lublin, and he told him, I want you to know you're a lucky boy. Because just today, there's a boy in Lublin who left, and his bed is in the Ezra's Nashim. So his bed is open. And as far as I know, he's going to be gone for at least a year. Okay? And there's two meals that have been arranged for him, so you could take over the meals. V'kachave. And Rav Krasner convinced the people in the yeshiva that this boy is Epizachosh of a boy who he owes something to. He made up a baloney story that nobody questioned what Chaim Krasner did. And this is what went on for 6 or 7 months. And he turned to Rabbanu Shalom, Rabbanu Shalom, that chesed that I did for that boy, that chesed I did, nobody knows. The boy didn't know it was a chesed. The boy thought that there was an empty bed there. People didn't know why I did it. Oh, but you know, Rabbanu Shalom, I only did it for him. And that's chus I should be saved. And that ma'aseh chesed I should be saved. He says, I said that tefillah. It took me about 2 minutes. I turned around. The guy looked at me and started shaking. And that was it. Das is v'metut fayena. So he was in my shul a couple of years ago by a bris, before he passed away. And I told him over the story. And I said, wow, chesed, the koyach of chesed. First of all, he concurred with the story, that the story took place, exactly the way I said it. He said, but you should know, it wasn't the chesed. He says, in my days in Lublin, I didn't know how I was going to survive. He says, I didn't really know how to schnar, I didn't know how to get food, I didn't know if I'm going to survive. It was the schar of my emuna. When I gave my bed to the guy, it wasn't just chesed. It was emuna. I put my life in the Rebbeinu Shalom's hands. I said, this is a lost soul. I'll take care of him. Hashem, you take care of me. He says, when I davened, I didn't daven in the schus of chesed. I davened in the schus of emuna. That I put my life in your hands, Rebbeinu Shalom. I'm putting my life again in your hands. Save me. That's emuna. And that's safe for Koheles. Shlomo HaMelech is telling us as follows. If you're going to toil in this world, and you're going to think that it's koichi v'oitzim yodi osalias achayel hazeh, then the whole world is worthless for you. You're only going to have aggravation in this world. Ma yisroin la'odom sheyamoil tachas Hashemesh. There's only one thing that you get that correlates directly to your efforts. And that's spiritually. That's ruchnius. You ain't going to become a Talmud Chacham if you don't work on it. You ain't going to become a Baal Chesed if you don't work on it. Spiritual things you only get if you work for them. Physical things don't work that way. Hashem wants you to do, you have to make your shtabels. Hashem gives you what he has to give you. There's no correlation between your efforts. Every maimon in the Rebbeinu Shalom knows that there's no correlation between what you do and what you actually get at the end. Only spirituality is that way. Spirituality, you only get what you work for. Zok Shlomo HaMelech Hevel HaVolim, and then he explains himself. Ma Yisrael La'odum Sheyamo El Tachas HaShemesh. If you look at it like it's yours, then it's a disaster. Al Yisrael El Chocham B'Chochmosai. So long that you think it's yours, then it's just going to work against you. You'll be full of disappointment in life. The second you have a munah that comes from the Rabbanu Shel Olam, the bracha is ad bali dai. I want to tell you a story I read in the Hagdoma of the Igros Moshe to give you an idea what a munah is worth. And by the way, that's all the Yomim Le'Goyim. The Yomim Le'Goyim, the davening, everything is all malchiyus, that's what it is. And that's what Sukkos is. The Rabbeinu Yain explains that Sukkos shows that we have bitochen in Hashem, we don't even need the shelter of our homes. And that's why the Sefer that we read on Sukkos is the Sefer where Shlomo Melech talks about Emunah. Reb Moshe Feinstein, in the Igros Moshe, brings down an unbelievable story. I'll leave you with this story. It's an unbelievable story. If it wouldn't be written, it would be hard to believe. Reb Moshe Feinstein, his first Rabbanus in Lubin, when he was in Europe, he was a young man. This was the year Tov Resh Pei Beis. You realize Tov Resh Pei Beis, how long ago that was, right? Walding in Tov Shin Ayin Vov. Okay? We're going into Tov Shin Ayin Zion. Right? We're pretty advanced now, right? We're going to soon go into Mitzvah Shem after Tov Shin Ayin Zion. This is Tov Resh Pei Beis. Okay? A long time ago. Nearing 100 years ago. Reb Moshe, so he was a young man. One of his balabatim in the community got sick. And this is Reb Moshe's story. So you don't have to question the story whether it's some storyteller said it. This is Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe says, the year was Tov Resh Pei Beis. There was a chayla. Somebody got very sick in his community. The ha-chayla yo muzer mo'ed. It was a very rare illness. Very rare illness. L'shoinoi hisnapcha b'piv. His mouth, his tongue got swollen and started falling back in, you know, like a epilepsy. When your person has a seizure, it could happen. His tongue started going into his mouth backwards. And this was the illness Nebuch that he had. Reb Moshe Alsterov went to visit him. So he went levakesh asachoyl. As soon as Reb Moshe came to visit the sick person, the sick guy said, okay, take everybody out. I don't want anybody to hear what I'm telling the rabbi. After the room was empty, and the only reason we know the story is because Reb Moshe himself said over the story, the sick person said, Rabbi, I want to tell you, I know why I got this illness. I know for a fact. The chayla told him that this is what happened. He says, Shavua koidem lachain, a week ago, was Parshas Vayera. Parshas Vayera talks about the whole story of Stein and how it got turned over, and Loit and his two daughters ran away, and you know his daughters made him drunk, and they conceived from their father, and they had two children. Amon and Moav came from Loit. And the two daughters had the chutzpah to call their children after their grandfather. B'nai Amon and B'nai Moav. Both implying that there was... Now Moav was even more direct, but Amon is also. So the chayla, the sick man, listen what he said. The sick man turns to Reb Moshe, he says, Reb Moshe, well, during that parasha, I turned to the people in Shul, I told them, a chutzpah, that these girls did that. What a chutzpah. Memela, they were with their father, they thought the world is over and they have to be with their father, and they're going to have children from their father, Memela. Then you call the kid that way. You give the kid the name that way. He says, I said, what a chutzpah. He says, L'dvar v'shvukav hiksha ketzad, how could it be? Haloi loiboishu begili arayas. What a chutzpah. And evohidiyu shebneim meyaviyah. And the yotzim ha-mashiach, and David HaMelech comes from Moav. How could it be? Such girls, such chutzpah. And Mashiach should come from them? He was just baffled by it. Okay, sounds like a good question, no? I think any of us could have asked that question. How could Mashiach come from such mechutzof? That was his question. Anyway, v'dibra aleim derech bizoyin. He spoke negatively about Benois Loit. Listen, they're not my champions either, right? And how many of you give us paid them on Benois Loit? Anyway, balayla ahu. That night, Matzah Shabbos, he gets a dream. This is the chayla talking. He had a dream. Ubo shtei noshim zkenois moed. Two old ladies came to him in a dream. They looked very old. And they were covered up like the Arabs, you know, with the Sharia begotten. Not the Geshmaka begotten. Yeah? Even Kobe would agree, you don't dress like that. Right? Derech pisoin, v'om, and pneim b'chusim. And their faces were covered. V'omru loy shehem b'nois loit. They told him, Rabbi Yid, we are the b'nois loit that you spoke, that you desecrated today, that you spoke about today. With them. Obviously got a little shaken up. And they said, and if you want to know the truth, we'll tell you the truth, why we call the kids that name. V'omru loy, and they told him, Sheshomu tainoisav. Ubo me oilom o emes lanoisloi. And they came from Shemayim to answer his question on them. Benoisloi. They came from Shemayim to tell Light what's going on here. To tell this Yid. And what they tell him? They said like this. We came mi mishpachas Avram Avinu. We came from Avram Avinu's family. V'nitzalnu b'derech neis. And we are the fact that we got survived was nothing short than an open miracle. Nobody could deny. Miracle. Now we were worried that if we're going to now have children, people are going to say, Yoshke! Who impregnated these women? Who knows? Some koyach elyon. They said, and therefore, nobody would say, we were mezaneh, we're these miraculous, godly women, we're nuns. We're sisters. They would say, you know what, these women are like daughters of God. They're going to start something like Christianity. And we wanted to be oiker, that shouldn't happen. So we dafka embarrassed ourselves and called our kids in the name of our father so that a new religion against Hashem doesn't come to be. V'zehu shekoru l'bneim amenu moyev. Lo'idia shekasher isha misaberes yesh levlad av. Bosar vodom. U'b'schuz zeh. And then they told him, you want to know why we were zeichet the Mashiach? B'schuz zeh. That's why we got Mashiach. The real Mashiach. Because we wanted to make sure there's no fake Mashiach. Mamish midi k'neged midi. Dos ha'maisev v'chem Moshiach. This came out of the mouth of Rabbi Moshe, this mice. And the guy told him that they ended off the dream by telling him, you did a chet gadol, you did a big avera, what you did. And therefore, hu ye'anesh mida k'neged mida k'meraglim. They told him, you're going to die quickly like the meraglim died. How did the meraglim die? Their tongues. That was the chet. Nebuch, this guy got the Oynish hamaraglin. Ukshesiyem ha'ish l'sapra sipurai. As soon as he told Rav Moshe the story, heisiv panav lakir v'niftar lo'ilamai. For Amar Rabbeinu, shehim dvorim amitiyim. Rav Moshe says this is true. V'ahezber nira lo'y hezber amiti. So Rav Moshe, the Pesach Hador, says this explanation now makes sense. Do you believe it? Unbelievable. This is the schus of emunah. These two b'nois loit, they were zoicha to have a schus Mashiach should come from them because they were mamsi emunah to the world. Because they wanted to be mamsi emunah that they shouldn't be kfir in Hashem. And this yukul, and I'm only calling him a yukul, I shouldn't call him a yukul, but l'maisa, he spoke l'shon, l'maisa, you see the oinah she had, hopefully now he's in Gan Eden. Look at the oinah she got. Because Pegeya and somebody that brought Emunah into the world. That gives you an idea what the schus of Emunah is. So Dr. Shamshon Rafael Hirsch in Magle Hashanah, that the Yom Tov of Sukkos, we're really celebrating our Emunah. And that's why it's a Yom Tov of Simcha. Because somebody who has Emunah has Simcha. And somebody who doesn't have Emunah is living in a world of disappointment. Hevel Avolim, Omar Koheles. For anybody who's Omal Tachas HaShemesh. Okay, stop here. When you get there, yeah.